If you'd like to follow along, the editors of my Bible put as the subtitle, The Preeminence of Christ. So just keep that in the back of your mind as I read this, that that's the gist of this, the preeminence of Christ. So starting in 17 of Colossians 1. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of the cross. And you, who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he is reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? That you would have preeminence in everything. On December 14th, on December 24th, December 25th, and at least 365 other days in a year. Lord, we pray that you would stir within us a passion for your preeminence. And I especially pray it for us this morning. As we make our way through busy weeks, with a lot of things to plan, a lot of just things to do in preparation for Christmas. Lord, it's so easy for us to marginalize you without meaning to. And so, Lord, I pray that before we make another step this morning, you would remind us that you demand preeminence in all things. Not like some stubborn child who wants his way, but like a glorious king whose very nature demands worship, respect. So we say, Gloria in excelsis Deo, glory in the highest to God. Lord, I pray for the heavy hearts in this room, those who are sick, those who are discouraged, those who are just exhausted, those who are critical, perhaps just at the end of their rope. I pray that you would encourage their hearts this morning by reminding them that you have provided a way to where God and sinners can be reconciled. And that even though it may not be their deepest felt need, their deepest need is to have a relationship with you, and that you have made that possible by the sacrificial death and resurrection of your Son. Lord, I pray that you would stir us to an absolute sense of awe as we consider what we deserve and consider what you give us. We pray this to the praise of your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles, if you would, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Before we get to the text, I do have a really important announcement to share with you, to celebrate with you, really. This past week, the elders, two of the elders and myself, met with Mark and Patty Musoff to discuss their membership, and we decided that they would be excellent additions to Emmanuel Bible Church. And so we want to announce this week that as of 12:01 a.m. next Sunday, they will be official members. And we also give you a week to let us know what we're missing. All right? If there's anything that we are. But 1 week from today, look at this, guys. You get one of these bad boys. And let me encourage you, nothing looks better under the tree than an Emmanuel Bible Church membership certificate. And in talking with the elders, we have decided to extend the special through the month of January, we will waive the $1,000 charge. That can be all yours if you act now. You know, it's a great blessing to discern spiritual growth in others. But it's also an amazing blessing to discern spiritual growth in yourself. In past years, I would have stood up here the week after the Lions got smacked by the Philadelphia Eagles, and I would say sarcastic things, but I've decided not to do that this year. In past years, I would subtly mention it in passing that the Eagles scored over 28 points in the fourth quarter to break the hearts of the Detroit Lions, but this year I've decided not to harp on that, but instead to focus on more Christmassy things. In previous years, I would have mentioned the fact that we even had a deacon in the room watching the Lions lose. But, you know, I'm just happy to report that I'm beyond things like that now. And so, even though somebody hung up a Lions jersey last week back there, I decided not even to bring it up. Not even to mention that the Eagles won last week. Not to mention the fact that Calvin Johnson was barely a factor. Didn't bring it up. Don't want to bring it up. Don't really care about it, to be honest with you. And so join me in celebrating the fact that God is causing growth in me. That's what I'm excited about. I hope you are too. Because it doesn't really matter who wins or loses as long as my team wins. And so let's get beyond that. Let's stop being children already and get to the text, the Word of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we'll continue our discussion of Christmassy things, basing it all on the line from Hark the Herald Angels Sing, where it says, "Peace on earth, mercy mild." This week we'll talk about God and sinners reconciled. The reconciliation of us to God is something that must be celebrated, or Christmas is just a cultural thing, and it ceases to be anything that honors God. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, we read this: "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come." Now, all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors of God, or ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. There's so much about Christmas. We talk about reconciliation. We talk about peace on earth, mercy mild. And then when we get to the reconciliation part, we think more about reconciliation with other people than we do about God. I mean, let's be honest, and don't raise your hand because they may be in the room, but how many of you are thinking something like this? Christmas is coming, the whole family will be together. Great. How many of you are thinking, you know what? I love my family, but I cannot wait till December 26th. How many of you know that once you get the family together, there's always going to be at least one person in the room who doesn't like somebody else in the room? If you have a big enough family like I have, you know that there's going to be feuds within the family. And it's uncomfortable because you're there and you're walking around, you're trying to talk to people, and there's always somebody in the corner like this. humbug. And you're like, Jen, relax. You know, I mean, right? In my family growing up, especially with my grandmother, Christmas was huge. And she had like 9 kids, 8 kids. And they all had kids. And we had an army of people at grandmom's house. And every year you had to get a briefing as to who was talking to who and who liked who and who didn't like who. So you didn't end up walking up to 2 people who didn't like each other and try to get them talking. So how are you doing? How are you doing? How's life? And then you're just right in the middle of an argument. And if you think I'm making this up, let me tell you the story of the first time Jen met my Italian family in Jersey. And if I'm lying, I'm dying. Check with her later. We're already married, sucker. And so I said, why don't you come and meet my family? And Jen didn't know how my family was. They're great. They're a little eccentric. And so we're all sitting in the living room. And all of a sudden, a fist fight breaks out between my aunt, who was a guard in a woman's prison, I kid you not, and my uncle, who's a Harley biker. Okay? Not only are they fighting, and not only does one have their hands around the other's neck, they land on the lap of my beautiful bride. We're sitting there, and she's like, this is your family? I look at her, and I say, pick of the litter, baby. Pick of the litter. What were they fighting about? You curious? One of them said the Eagles stunk. So it's not like there wasn't a reason to fight. Welcome to my family. Do you have anything like that? I hope you don't. But maybe it's not to that extreme. But maybe you know that brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so just don't really get along right now. And so you watch all these great Christmas movies that talk about people who don't get along reconciling. One of the most common themes in Christmas movies is the idea that Christmas is a time in which people can get along suddenly and decide to be nice to each other. Christmas is seen as a time to bury the hatchet and let bygones be bygones. Just some examples for sinners like me who watch television. Scrooge and his nephew at the end of A Christmas Carol. Scrooge hated his guts at the beginning. At the end, they're friends. Makes you feel good inside. The Grinch hated the Who's down in Whoville a lot. But by the end, he's carving roast beast, everybody's getting along, and he's trying to sing along with a song, the words to which he does not remember. In the movie Home Alone, one little kid hates the rest of the family, so they leave him home alone. By the end of the movie, I love my family. We love you too, kid. It's sickening. But Christmas is all about, culturally at least, all about putting aside differences and getting along, at least for the holidays. But one thing you may not have ever considered, one thing that may never have crossed your mind, is that God himself is angry with you. And you're not reconciled to him yet. And as much as you go out of your way to be nice to the people you have to be with on Christmas, the idea may totally escape your mind that you are what the Bible would call in enmity with God. God may be angry with you this year. And unless you are reconciled to him, the greatest relationships in the world won't get it done. Reconciliation is often everywhere in these movies, but rarely is it reconciliation with God. I can think of nothing more pressing and important than this question. Are you reconciled with God? How's your relationship with him? Is it awkward? Do you two not talk much? Do you put up with him during the season because of all the great traditional trappings? But if you're honest with yourself, you and him are not real close. How's your relationship with God? Is it like that relationship with the member of the family that, let's just face it, doesn't really like you very much? Do you put everything aside for 3 weeks in December and say, you know what, I'm going to get along with this God, even though he and I have never meshed? Let me ask you, is it awkward between you and God? Have you ever been in a relationship with somebody, whether it be a friendship, marriage, brother, sister, father, daughter, where you knew it wasn't right? When you knew there was something below the surface, there's some sort of tension, and you couldn't necessarily put your finger on it, but it was just awkward? Let me ask you, have you ever been hated or had conflict with somebody and not even know it was going on? What if that were the case between you and God this morning? And you die this afternoon. And you stand before him and you said, oh, I'm glad it's Christmas. Peace on earth and mercy mild. And he looks at you and he says, what, now you like me? Now we're good? Get away from me. The Bible says he'll say, depart from me. Get away from me. So are you reconciled to God? That's the question. Are you and God tight? Are you close? Is everything fine relationship-wise? Over the last few weeks, we've talked about all the nations rising, and humanity's highest hopes are realized in Jesus' birth as a victorious king. But the nations will rise, that is, they will come to experience that hope because and only because of the infinite mercy of God shown in his reconciling us to himself. But let's ask this question first. Do we even need to be reconciled to God? I mean, after all, you don't reconcile friends, do you? I mean, you don't go up to somebody with whom you get along really well and say, hey, are we okay? Well, because you know you're okay. You get along really well. In fact, I see the shirt, I hate it. If you have it, throw it out or burn it, please. A shirt that says, Jesus is my homeboy. I hate that shirt. It's stupid. So apart from the obvious blasphemy of a shirt like that, the question is your relationship with Jesus close like a friendship, like a father-son, like a sibling relationship? Is it close? Is he close with you? We don't want to be overly casual in our approach to Christ, but we do want to ask the diagnostic question of, is our relationship close? Friends, until we receive the Lord as our Savior, listen to me, we are in enmity with God. What does that mean? That means his anger is still on you. Regardless of how you feel about him. Unless you have received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you show up to the banquet, the relationship will be icy at best. Well, what does enmity mean? Enmity means a hostile feeling or attitude. God is hostile toward you who will not bend your knee to him. It is. In John 3:36, it says this, he who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son will not see life but the wrath of God abides on him. Peace on earth, mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Are you reconciled? Because if you're not, his wrath abides on you. That means you are still under his wrath. Romans 1:18 says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." Romans 5:9 says, "Much more then, having now been justified, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him." God's wrath is real. You don't hear about it in December. We want to marginalize it in December, but the wrath of God is what makes the reconciliation of God sweet. Amen. Wrath is real. What's the point? We need to understand the wrath of God in order to respond to it. And if we don't know someone's mad at us, how could we possibly take the steps of reconciliation? I've told this story before, but it's absolutely true. When I was a brand new Christian, I was in a little church in Colstrip, Montana, and the pastor got this weird idea one Sunday where he says, "Look, if you're having problems with anybody in the church, go make up. I'll wait." He takes a step back and he says, "Just go reconcile." That's a really not a good thing to do. It really isn't. I would never do that. If you have a problem with somebody in this church, take it outside in a good sense, you know, like not in a fight sense, but handle it somewhere else. The reason why is because this lady walked up to me in church. If I'm lying, I'm dying. And she says, "You know what? I just got to confess. I have hated you since the day I met you." I had no idea. I thought she liked me. So she felt better. And what? I felt worse. So she went back and started singing worship songs. And I'm like, "I hate that lady. Because I'm awesome." Obviously, she's a bad judge of character. And to this day, it still kind of bothers me that somebody would say that. I mean, at least do what everybody else does and, like, send me an anonymous note or something, you know? To walk right up and just say, "You know, I've hated you. Ah, I feel better." And I'm like, "Well, you're a stupid face." By the way, I have her address if you want to send her a letter. Anyway, the point is, if we don't know that we're in hostility with somebody, we can't really resolve it, can we? And so I bring up that God's wrath is real, not just to make you feel bad, but to shake you to where you cry out to God and say, if there's any hostility, let's get rid of it. Let God and this sinner be reconciled. So let's talk then about the meaning of reconciliation in verse 17. It says this, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come." When you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, you are not renovated. You are recreated. You are not a renovation. You are a tear down and rebuild. And God makes every part of you new. Now, you still may act the same at times. You still have your own personality. But God says this, everything you've ever done, gone. Every sin going forward, forgiven. Everything is new forever. Now, isn't that how we should want reconciliation with other people? They walk up and they say, "Here's where you're a bonehead." And you go, "Well, yeah, I accept that. Here's where you're a bonehead." And they go, "Well, let's forget it. Let's start fresh." God gives us the opportunity to wipe our slate clean and forever going forward to let our sins be punished in the death of his son. We'll get to that. Reconciliation means something a lot more drastic than forgiveness. Forgiveness means you decide not to hold something against somebody when they apologize. So somebody does something wrong and they come back and they say, "Look, I'm really sorry." You say, "Look, it's done. No problem." Reconciliation is when you return to a relationship that's close again. I mean, how many of you have ever said something like this? "Yeah, I can forgive you, but we're not going to hang out anymore. Like, I can forgive you, but we're not going to go have dinner together." Well, that could be forgiveness, but it's not reconciliation. God doesn't just forgive you, right? He doesn't just say, "You know, I'm not going to punish you, but stay away from me." He says this, "I'm never going to punish you again. I'm never going to count your sins against you again. And I want you right here. Stay right here. and he puts his arms around you like nothing ever happened. One thing to remember, your lack of relationship with God is 100% your fault. Let's look back at the text. In verse 18, it says this, "Now all these things are from God." You notice that? That's what we'll call the means of reconciliation. Everything that must be done to reconcile you to God, God did. Why is this important? Well, because the one who starts the process gets the glory. Have you ever been upset with somebody and you give them a little bit of attitude? I know you guys wouldn't do that. These beautiful smiling faces, right? Let's say you're a little frosty. And then all of a sudden the other person just makes the first move. Says, "Look, I just want to say I'm sorry about that." And you're like, "Oh, I'm sorry too." And you hug it out and you're buddies again. Well, who has, for the rest of your time as friends, who has the right to brag that they were the ones who made the first step? The one who does it first. Well, God does it first. He's not up there pouting, waiting for you to appease him. He is the one who does all these things. Notice what it says. "Now, all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ." That's the means of our reconciliation. God punished somebody else so that he can be on friendly terms with us. 1st of all, God is the one who takes the first step. He is the one who reconciles all things to himself. Look at verse 19. "Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation." A couple years ago, I did something inadvertently that really offended a member of my family in Jersey. And I knew the member of my family wasn't happy with us because all of a sudden they defriended all of us. She defriended all of us on Facebook and wouldn't talk to me anymore. And that kind of happens. So when my dad died, I was a little nervous that I would have to see these guys at the funeral. Because I don't want any Aquilino drama at a funeral. You know, so what I decided to do was, the second I saw him, this particular person, I was going to make a beeline right toward him and hug him and just tell him I love him. So as this particular person got out of the car, I saw him there, and I just left who I was talking to, walked right up to them, wrapped my arms around him, and I said, "Thanks for being here. It means a lot to me." For the rest of the day, this person's next to me. Put their arm around me like nothing ever happened. Refriended me on Facebook. Sometimes it's all about making that first step. Friends, God has done that. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross for you. He is reaching out to you. Today is the day to get this settled. First of all, God's the one who takes the first step. Secondly, notice that Paul describes this reconciliation in a completely Christ-saturated way. I love this. Notice what he says. Verse 18, "Now all these things are from God who reconciled us to himself," look, "through Christ." Look in verse 19. "Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling us," right? And then in verse 20 it says, "Then we are ambassadors for Christ." Reconciliation was in Christ. It was for Christ. And what was the other one? Through Christ. This reconciliation is all about Jesus, just like Christmas is. All about Jesus. The means of reconciliation are that God punished somebody else instead of you. If you would receive that, all of your punishment gets transferred to him, and you and God are cool now. And you never need to feel awkward in approaching him. The last point we'll make from this text is the ministry of reconciliation. Notice what the text says in verse 18. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. What does this mean? Well, he goes on in verse 20 to say this, or verse 19. He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. What is that? That's the gospel. In verse 20, he goes on to say this, and now we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were making an appeal through us, we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Have you ever had an experience like this? Maybe you had conflict with somebody, and you weren't really mad anymore, but you just decided, you know what? They come to me, I'm ready to forgive. Right? But I'm not going to beg them. They come to me, they eat a little humble pie, maybe call me most holy reverend doctor, and I'll throw some crumbs their way. But I'm not going to beg them. Notice what God says we're to do. We're to go into the world and beg them to be reconciled to God. God wants us to persuade people to be reconciled to God and let our pride just go. We are his ambassadors, as though God were making an appeal through us. So let's say it that way. God is appealing to you through me. He is appealing. He is telling me to beg you to be reconciled to him. This means that we serve God by pointing people to his reconciliation. So what does this involve? Well, here's where we get to the challenging part of today's message. And I want to challenge you. I think it's time. Let's challenge each other a little bit. How do we bring people to the reconciliation of God? The simple answer is this. We tell them about Jesus. And for those of you who may not feel qualified or comfortable in doing that, there's what you do. There's something real practical you can do in the next week. Invite them to church. They will hear the gospel. Use me as an excuse. Say, there's this guy and he stands up. We have no idea what's going to come out of his mouth. Even he doesn't. It's weird. Bring them in. They will hear the gospel. They will be given the chance to reconcile to God. On the welcome table on your way out, we have these cards that we print off every year. Hopefully in the next few days, we'll get this on Facebook and we'll email it to everybody if they want to email it to their friends. But here, this is all the information that people will need to come to Christmas service or to come to the Christmas Eve service. If you're not a person of many words, you just walk up to them and you say, here, Merry Christmas. And they look at it, and what are they going to do? They're not going to yell at you. They're going to say, oh, great. Now, if as you're walking away, they say, well, why? Why should I go to this Christmas service? Here's what you do. You talk to them and you beg them to be reconciled to God. Now, you don't use those words necessarily, and you don't want to get down on your knees because they'll think you're weird. But you want to constantly say, because God and you need to relate well. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. And you have the chance to be reconciled. Come hear about it. And pray for me that it would be clear, as it ought to be. And more importantly than that, that it would be attended to by God's power so that it would affect change in people's lives. The word of reconciliation is this. Everyone is sinful, but God is holy and he demands holiness. Since we cannot be what God commands, we deserve punishment. But God, in his infinite mercy, desires that we would be able to have a relationship to him, be reconciled to him. So in order to allow for this relationship without compromising his holiness, he sent Jesus to live a perfect life and die in our place and take our punishment for us. Now, all who call upon the name of the Lord and ask that the sacrificial death of Jesus would be applied to them are forgiven of their sins and given the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ and are reconciled to God. Therefore, God in his holiness is in a relationship with man in his sinfulness. They are no longer at enmity. They are now reconciled. And so we beg them. And if you're here this morning and you are not yet a believer in Jesus Christ, I beg you to cry out to this God and ask him, God, are we okay? Are you angry with me? If so, would you please pour that anger on your son and reconcile yourself to me? Make all things new. Forgive all of my sins. We'll conclude it this way. First of all, we must be diligent to confirm that we have been reconciled with God. And the only way to know for sure is to cry out to him and ask him to save you. Now, we use words like save or born again or convert or receive or accept. It's all the same thing. It's a matter of crying out to God and just saying, God, would you apply the death of Jesus Christ to my account and would you forgive me and come into my life, be my master, be my God, be my everything. We must be diligent to confirm that is true of us, and we must be diligent to carry this message to the world. So let me encourage you to take one of these postcards, if that's your thing, or wait till you get the email and send it out, or go on Facebook and like it, or whatever you do on Facebook, and get other people involved in understanding that there's a ministry here this year that wants to point them to Jesus and bless them. Are you reconciled to God? Let me ask you it this way. If you were to die right now, all of a sudden you open up your eyes and you're at this huge Christmas party. It's a big room, lots of food, poinsettias, perhaps. And all of a sudden you're walking around, you're meeting these guys. How you doing? What's your name? You know, I'm Paul. I wrote a lot of the Bible. Oh, great. Nice to meet you, Paul. I'm Peter, you know. All of a sudden, you see this guy in the back. And you're like, who's that? And they say, well, that's Jesus. Would you approach him? Would you feel as though you know him well enough to approach him and fall at his feet? Or would you be wondering whether he really liked you or not? Are you and him okay? Would you elbow Paul out of the way, give Peter a little shot to the ribs and say, out of my way, people, I'm here to see that guy? Or would you slowly make your way over like this and say, Jesus, are we okay? And hope he doesn't say no. Right now, you can settle that. Right now, you can end all worry and doubt. Right now, you can put that to rest forever. By crying out to him in your heart and saying, Jesus, would you come into my life? Would you be my master? Would you be my king? I believe in you. I accept you. And I want to live the rest of my life for you. Now, obviously, when we get to heaven, there's not going to be a big Christmas party. People aren't going to be standing around a table. The question is, are you and Jesus, are you and God reconciled? If not, now is the time. Now is the time. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, if there's someone here this morning who does not know you or has never cried out to you, now is the time, Lord God. Would you join me in begging them to come to you? Lord, would you draw them to yourself? And would you draw them, please, to yourself by leading them to pray simply in their heart, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I get that. I understand it. I accept it. I have no excuses, no explanations. I just want you to forgive me. And I want you and I to be good. I want to be able to talk to you and know that you're okay with me. And I know that if that's possible at all, it's only because you are a magnificently forgiving God. So would you forgive me? Would you reconcile me? Would you just do away with the old things and make all things new? Lord, we pray for those in this room that need to make that move, that you would bless them and give them courage to do that and to share with others that they've made a change this morning. They've received you. Lord, I pray that you would continue to bless our church. Fill us with your Spirit. Fill us with a passion to see souls converted and to see Christians grow. To the praise of your glory, in Jesus' name, amen.